Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special teaching on reigning in life was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
So let's turn back over to Romans chapter 6. For those of you that have not been here, I started with Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and I spent the first two services ministering from Romans chapter 5. Primarily, we focused on Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and verses 21. Let me just go back and read them. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." I had a man come up today who said he believed God could do anything, and he believed all of this, and he believed the things that I was saying, but he just couldn't get it working in his life. And I quoted this verse to him, and I said, "See, you believe in the grace of God, but you aren't seeing it reign, dominate, control your life because you don't understand your righteousness, your righteous position." And so this is what I've been talking about, is about what God did and how we've been changed. And this led us into Romans chapter 6 last night, and I didn't get as far into this as I thought I would, but in Romans chapter 6, the logical question to all of this teaching is, are you just saying that it's all God's grace? He's not dealing with us based on our performance, so can we just live in sin? Does it matter how we live? And Paul said, absolutely not. Unqualified, negative, no, that's not what I'm saying. And he gave two reasons in Romans chapter 6 why people don't live in sin. The first one is what we talked about last night, and that is that you are dead to sin. This does not mean you are incapable of sin. You can still sin. Christians do sin. But again, I go back to one of the first points that I made, that there is a difference between an action of sin and your sin nature. This is saying we are dead to our sin nature. When you got in Christ, you were baptized into His death, and your old sin nature died. You do not have a nature any longer that is part devil and compels you to live in sin. And the logical question to that is, people say, well, then why do I sin so much? Because your old man, this old nature, left behind an unrenewed mind. It programmed your brain like a computer, and you are still continuing to function the way that you were programmed. And very few Christians have reprogrammed their mind. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God." When you get born again, your spirit is completely changed. It's identical to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have His faith, His power, His anointing, His resurrection life. Everything that is needed for the Christian life is already in your born-again spirit, but it has to go into your physical body through your mind. And if you are still thinking that you're only human, if you're still thinking that cancer is stronger than you, and that's true in the natural, but it's not true in the spirit. Your spirit man is stronger than cancer. Your spirit man is stronger than grief. Your spirit man is stronger than anything. People come up and tell me all of their problems, and I often ask them, I said, "And so why do you let this happen?" And they just look at me like, "Well, I don't have power against this." That's a person that is seeing themselves as an old creature. They don't know who they are in Christ. And the reason grace isn't reigning unto eternal life is because they don't know their righteous position. They don't know who they are. They don't know their authority. I'm telling you, there is no reason for Christians to be living the defeated life. There is no reason when cancer knocks at your door for you just to run to God, "No, God, heal me," as if you have no power. You got the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that's more than enough to heal cancer. That's more than enough to heal whatever's wrong with you. That's more than enough to take care of whatever your problem is. But very few people understand their righteous position and their change that is taken in their spirit. And so grace isn't releasing its full effect and power in their life because they don't know who they are in Christ. Boy, that's a mouthful. But that's what we've been talking about. And so Romans chapter 6 says, you're dead to sin. That old sin nature is non-existent. The only reason that Christians sin is because you were programmed to sin by your sin nature, and very few people have reprogrammed themselves. They still see themselves as bitter, angry, selfish, on and on and on and it goes. I tell you, you can reprogram yourself with the Word of God and literally change all of these things. In your heart, you have a desire to live for God. You know, this is a little bit of a sideline, but this is one of the ways that you can tell if you're truly born again. Not necessarily how successful you are, but many of you, before you got born again, you slept around with other people. You were angry, bitter, you gossiped, you did this and that. And you know what? After you're born again, you still do some of the same things, but now you feel terrible about it. And before, you didn't feel terrible about it. You know what the difference is? Your nature is changed. You no longer like it. You may still do some of the same stuff, but now you feel bad about it because the nature that is on the inside of you hates those kind of things. But you're going to wind up still submitting to the things until you renew your mind and get and find out the power and the authority that you have and stuff. And people are just continuing in sin because they don't know who they were. So anyway, this is what we've talked about, and we got down to Romans chapter 6. Let me back up and just read a few of these verses. You have to know some things. The death with Christ, the death to the old man is automatic. But whether or not you see resurrection power flow through your mind and into your body and into your experience is dependent upon you knowing some things. So look in verse 9. Here's one of the things you have to know. That you have to know that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Man, that is a strong statement. And all of us recognize this with Jesus, but then we think differently about ourselves. We know that Jesus has overcome death, but we aren't sure that we have. You have to get the same attitude. Matter of fact, over in 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it's verse 1, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Man, that is a strong statement. You're supposed to think the way that Jesus thinks, and then it goes on to say, have you got that verse to put up there? Let me turn over and read this. I'm not sure I quote it exactly. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." This means that everything he did was for us. It wasn't for him. Jesus didn't suffer because of his sin. He suffered because of our sin. So everything he did is for us. Therefore, we can take advantage of everything that he accomplished. "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." We need to think the way that Jesus thinks. And here it goes on to describe it. It says, "For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Did you know religion will also often interpret this as you need to suffer? And the more you suffer in life, this is why trials, tribulations, sickness, disease, and things like this come. And as you suffer, then you cease from sin. It helps you to overcome sin. And you have entire denominations that talk about the more you suffer, the holier you are. That is not true. That is not what this is talking about. If that was true, then the people who've suffered the most would be the holiest. That's not true. This is talking about Jesus is the one that suffered in the flesh, and he has ceased from sin. It's the exact same thing that Romans is talking about when it says that sin has no more dominion over him. He submitted himself briefly to sin and suffered the effects of God's wrath and punishment upon sin. But he died to sin once and he's not dying anymore. Sin has no more dominion over him. And it's saying, get the same attitude that you are now absolutely free from sin, is what this is talking about. "So he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God." You know, I hesitate to say some things that I really believe because people think I'm weird enough as it is. And if I tell you... But you know what? I don't see sin as one category and then poverty and depression and sickness and things like this in another category. All of those things are the result of sin. I hate sickness as much as I hate adultery. I hate poverty as much as I hate lying or stealing. There are some of you that wouldn't go commit adultery because that's sin. But you know what? You'll submit to sickness and you'll live in sickness and you'll even expect people to pity you for it. And that's the reason you're sick. If you had that same attitude toward adultery where you didn't like it, but after all, it's the way that it is, and this person came on to me and they tempted me and what could I do about it? You'd wind up living in adultery. But see, some of you, no, that's wrong. Adultery's wrong. But you see, sickness is something that, well, I'm just human. That's the reason you're sick. I expected about that kind of a response. But it says Jesus suffered once and now he doesn't suffer anymore. And you're supposed to have this same attitude. Do you think Jesus would sit there and let pain come on him? Do you think Jesus would deal with sickness and disease and waste away? Do you think Jesus would be poor? Do you think Jesus would be depressed? Do you think Jesus is wringing his hands and saying, oh man, I hope we get the right person in the White House. I hope we can pull this off. Do you think he's worrying about stuff? Well, you're supposed to arm yourself with the same mind. You're supposed to have the same attitude that he does. If Jesus wouldn't put up with sickness and disease and poverty and depression, why do you? And some of you are saying, but I don't have any power. You don't understand righteousness. And that's the reason that God's grace isn't reigning in your life and producing the desired results.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on reigning in life. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM252 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
If these radio broadcasts have been a blessing to you, I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we have people that give sometimes when they order materials, and we appreciate that. We appreciate any way you want to participate. But our bills come in on a monthly basis. And really, the backbone of this ministry are the people who become partners with us and give on a regular basis. And I would like to encourage you to pray about this. You know, we spend well over $1 million a month just on radio and television airtime. That's not including the materials, staff, other things. There's a lot of needs. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for partners. So I encourage you to pray about it, and if the Lord says so, become a partner with us today.